Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the topic is China, the country, not the plate. We'll have Professor Elliot Parker here from the Economics Department of UNR. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Janice Flanagan, Michael Hackett, and Heidi Smith. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
What does the massive Tahoe Reno Industrial Center offer to Northern Nevada? Well, there's an incredible amount of oversized infrastructure in place, along with hundreds of sites to accommodate relocating or expanding businesses. The park includes IT ecosystems, call centers, data centers, e-commerce distribution, and there's defense system manufacturing, clean energy, there's renewables and recycling, and we're just getting started. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Just about everything in our lives is happening faster. But instead of just keeping up, NV Energy plans ahead so that Nevada families have the energy they need now and well into the future.
This segment is sponsored by Fortech LLP, a locally owned economic development and government relations firm. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome for the first time to the program Professor Elliot Parker. He's with the Economics Department of the University of Nevada, Reno, has extensive knowledge of China, has lived in China off and on since 1989. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
A great pleasure to be here, Sam.
As we start this discussion about China, because so much of our discussion over the years of international affairs is centered on places like the Middle East, but the United States has been pivoting towards the Far East and China for the last several years now, attempting to take resources away from other places and put them into China. We saw the incident recently of where we saw these bombers flying, not bombers, but B-1s rather.
B-52s
flying over alleged Chinese waters, claimed Chinese waters. There's a big battle going on between China and just about every other nation about territorial rights in the South China Sea. So we're talking about the Philippines, we're talking about Vietnam, we're talking about Japan. And a lot of this is based on islands that are uninhabited and
exactly,
uninhabitable.
Yeah.
What's this all about?
Well, there's two parts to your question. Let me start with the first about the growth, you know, how things have changed and how we've pivoted. You know, when I was young, and presumably you're close to my age, you know, China was an
You don't look 80.
China was a very isolated country. While it had a large population, they were extremely poor. You know, from an economic point of view and from a military strategic point of view, China was not important at all. And now China is the second largest country in the world in overall economy. They're the fastest growing, and they've been the fastest growing for two decades, so clearly they're catching up. And with that, of course, comes China's desire to reassert what it sees as its traditional place in the world. You know, the Chinese don't call themselves, or they don't call their country China, they call their country the Middle Kingdom. And for thousands of years, the Chinese have seen themselves as the essential country in the world, and every other country that interacted with China came almost in a subservient point of view. Now, the maps of China that showed it at its largest were really things that came out of, say, the 1800s during the Qing Dynasty. But later maps started showing China wanting to claim basically every possible bit of the East China Sea and the South China Sea that it could that wasn't already claimed by others. And so there are maps that show China extending its territory, especially, you know, in the 20th century, all the way down to the almost the borders of Borneo and up along the Philippines. And so there's a number of islands down there which are unpopulated, but the Chinese want control over them. Now, from a practical point of view, it gives them some safety net for their navy as they're coming out of the South China Sea.
Which they are building.
Which they are trying to build. They're becoming much wealthier, and so they're trying to assert more military power. It's also rich fisheries, and finally, in the South China Sea in particular, what you're seeing are areas where there may be oil and gas deposits, which haven't been significantly exploited. Now, you've got the Philippines claiming them. You've got Taiwan, which used to consider itself the rightful owner of all of China, but Taiwan still claims it. You've got other countries, I think even Malaysia and Indonesia, have claims in those South China Sea areas. Now, these islands that we're talking about right now, what the Chinese called the Diaoyu Islands, what the Japanese called the Senkaku Islands, again, relatively uninhabited islands. They're right north of Taiwan. And they're very strategic from China's point of view. If you can control that, then you can control the waterways coming in and out of the Long River, the Changjiang, or what we know as the Yangtze River. And so they'd like to have sovereignty over that. They tried last week to say, well, we're going to claim these and say that we're going to defend them militarily. And so the U.S., to make the point that, in fact, that claim is not recognized, flew B-52s right over them without asking permission, as the Chinese wanted.
Okay, so but what is the strategic importance for the United States of getting into, I don't want to say a fight, but even a tiff with the
Actually, what you'd rather have is you're trying to avoid fights. And so by the U.S. being the essential nation, to some extent militarily, it reduces the need for South Korea, for China, I'm sorry, for Japan, for Taiwan, to try to extend their military. So it's much more likely that there would be a conflict between, say, Japan and China over the pride embodied in who gets to control these islands, as opposed to the U.S. being there. Because China's not really going to confront the United States. And so by the U.S. being there, we prevent Japan from having to. Right? And as a result, then, we have the outcome that Japan doesn't have a strong militaristic society and a big military. The same thing. We can keep Taiwan from having to become overly militaristic because we're there, to some extent, acting as the world's policeman.
All right, let's take a break. Fascinating stuff. More with Elliot Parker when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This segment is sponsored by Fortech LLP, a locally owned economic development and government relations firm. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Elliot Parker. He's a professor at the Economics Department of the University of Nevada, Reno, with extensive knowledge of China. So tell me from an economic point of view, because, you know, so many people in this country, after having fought two wars for so long, are saying, you know, let's bring the troops home. You know, why do we still have troops in South Korea? Why do we still have troops in Germany? We're looking now at troops being extended, not a great amount of troops, but troops being extended in Afghanistan. Bring those troops home, spend the money building roads and bridges and schools in this country rather than being elsewhere. And yet now we're deploying power in another region of the world. Economically, does this make sense for the United States?
From an economic point of view, I'm not so sure. This is a military strategic sort of argument. The argument, again, that, you know, whether the U.S. is in Afghanistan or not, you know, this is something that I've been torn about. I don't have, as an economist, I don't have strong opinions on that. But as a person, I...
Although, if I can just interrupt for a second.
Yes.
There's $1 trillion worth of minerals in the northern part of Afghanistan that China would love to be at a mine. And that we're probably not going to get to because those are areas controlled by the Taliban.
Yes. But the cost of us being there relative to the benefits of us being there from a simple self-interest point of view, probably the cost exceed the benefits. I mean, if you remember when we went into Iraq, there were people in the Bush administration who believed that the cost of the war would pay for itself because we'd be able to play such a strong role, be welcomed by the Iraqis, come in there and be able to develop Iraqi oil fields, and we could use Iraqi oil to help pay for the cost of the war and any lasting police support. It didn't really work out. You know, we wound up spending several trillions of dollars, and what we're able to get back as a nation is relatively small. So these decisions are not based on what's in our economic interest, you know, in a narrow sense. It's more of a overall trying to create a relatively more stable world. Now, if the world is relatively more stable, if you don't have the Taliban, whether they're threatening Pakistan or threatening their own people, if you've got countries that are starting to trade with each other, that generally creates a more benign economic environment of international trade from which the U.S. does benefit, but so does every other country.
Okay, I wanted to get to the comparisons between the U.S. economy and the Chinese economy, because even though things are rapidly accelerating in China, they still are minor by comparison with the United States economy.
Yeah, I mean, whenever you look at a country that's growing really rapidly, you know, you can have very high rates of growth if you start from a very tiny base. And the Chinese were starting from almost nothing. And to some extent, there was a lot of room to claw back because China, again, you know, the West has been growing for 300 or 400 years at a fairly rapid clip. But up until really about 1800, China had a higher standard of living and a more developed economy than the rest of the world. So there's a lot of desire to kind of come back to what they were already capable of. And that's part of the national pride issue I talked about before, and seeing themselves as an essential country, at least in their region. But, you know, China is still a relatively poor country. There's a huge divide between rural and urban areas, and that's something that the United States does not have, and we have not had for 200 years.
And there's also politically a big divide. The rural Chinese are much more conservative than the urban Chinese.
Well, it's hard to know for sure since they don't get to vote. right? We can guess at what they think, but I wouldn't trust that they fill out surveys very well, and we don't get to see how they vote. And so it's hard to say exactly how conservative they are. Certainly they're more traditional.
And actually, I use the word conservative in kind of a strange way, because it's that they are much more of a communist in sense.
I see what you're saying. Not our traditional view of the right-left distinction. But let's just say that people in the rural areas tend to be a little less educated. They're less exposed to the West and less exposed to the ideas of the West. And they tend to be poorer, and they tend to have, you know, much more narrow worries. It's like, how am I going to get the crop in the ground? Now, what many people don't understand is that China is actually now a majority urban society. So when I started studying China, 80% of the Chinese lived in rural areas. And last year, that number, according to the Chinese statistics, finally passed 50%. So that 49% of Chinese now live in rural areas instead, and 51% in urban areas. That's a huge migration, and that's part of why we've seen China grow so rapidly. It's because you've got all these people, hundreds of millions of people, moving into the cities, looking for housing, looking for work. So it's led China to focus on trying to maintain an export advantage by keeping, letting their currency remain cheap instead of rising like the pressures have been, because that makes it easier to employ all these people who are moving to the cities. It's led China to have to invest huge amounts in construction to build housing for all these people who are moving to the cities.
Okay, and I'm going to interrupt you because we've got less than a minute here.
Okay.
And they're building all this housing, but they have cities that are empty. There's nobody living there. 60 Minutes has done several pieces.
When you do things with central planning, there's a lot of stupid decisions that are made at the national level. So they're building cities
have
hoping to attract. Yes.
Yeah, they have malls that have all these fake names on there that sound like big American companies, but there's nobody there.
Well, a lot of these things are being driven not by markets. They're not being driven by, you know, a demand we can see. It's driven, I mean, some of it is speculative and things we see in markets, right? There are, you know, American companies that have built things and nobody ever came. But it's much more so when you have central government or even the provincial government doing this, and also competing for the money that may come with it with all this spending. So those decisions are less likely to be market-driven. They're more likely to have occasionally, you know, I mean, it needs to be done, but when it's being done by the government for huge changes that they hope will occur, it's hard to know for sure that that's always going to pan out. Those people may not want to move there because there are no jobs there.
Okay, we got to leave it right here. I think this is a fascinating start to our conversation. Come back soon, will you?
I will.
Okay, thank you so much. We'll be right back on The Better Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
From your house to the White House, the folks at D&D Roofing can get it fixed with their eyes closed.
We all know that the laws are changing and banks are starting to pursue deficiency judgments. The Tax Forgiveness Act and many other programs are ending this year. If you know anyone that needs any help, call me at Marshall Realty before it's too late.
Doorbuster specials at More Furniture for Less. It's a whole day of Doorbuster savings. The earlier you shop, the more you save, starting Friday at 8 a.m. Take an additional 21% off our guaranteed low price. Living rooms, dining rooms, bedrooms, an extra 21% off. Huge discounts throughout the day. The earlier you shop, the more you save. It all starts Friday morning, 8 a.m. at More Furniture for Less.
$10. It doesn't get you much anymore. A few cups of coffee, a sandwich, half a t-shirt. Well, Planet Fitness is about to change all that. Right now, when you join Planet Fitness, you'll pay just $10 a month. That's right. We're talking just 10 bucks. So get more for your money and become a member of Planet Fitness, home of the judgment-free zone. Sign up at the gym or join online at planetfitness.com for just $10 a month.
Some of us have seen a huge loss in home values and our life savings. This qualifies as a true hardship. So call me today to find out which program is best for you. And remember, our services are always free to homeowners.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Janice Flanagan is here, chair of the Washoe Dems, Michael Hackett with All Risk Consulting, and Heidi Smith, former Republican National Committee woman. So, Tig Sagelblum, the state senator, says, if no other Dems run against Sandoval in 2014, I reluctantly will, as reported by Andrew Doman of the Las Vegas Sun. Why are the Dems having trouble having a candidate to run against Brian Sandoval?
Brian Sandoval has been a very competent governor, and
boy, that's high praise.
he has been. I like him
for competence.
I do like him. I know him personally. He used to play basketball in my son's driveway, and it's hard to speak ill against him. I really don't like to do that. I do think that there will be a Democrat who will step up to the plate. It's good for our
who?
State. I don't know who. How about it? Yes. Do you have any suggestions, Sam?
Well, I like Tick because, as he said, you know, he would be a great candidate for the media.
He would be. He is. He's really a great guy. And I'd love to have him in the race. He would be a lot of fun.
Yes, indeed. Why do the D's have so much trouble? I mean, you know, Steve Sisolak certainly laid out the case against the governor.
Mm-hmm. I think the Democrats are looking at it as Sandoval has so much going for him right now, his popularity, his approval ratings, the amount of money that he's amassed so far.
Claims to have.
Okay. I'll take him at his word for it. But I just don't see this as being the priority for them. I think the Democrats have other races that are more important, lieutenant governor's race, some of the state senate races, certainly Joe Hexa, congressional race as well, too, and I think that's really where their focus is. I think whoever gets put up against Sandoval will really be kind of a sacrificial lamb on this.
Heidi?
They're absolutely right. There is no way anybody's going to beat Brian Sandoval. So I in a political sense, I think putting your money in a place where you need it would be more logical. We don't have any worry about Sandoval being reelected. We do have other candidates that we'll be working on because they are right at the top. We don't know how much this Obama situation, Obamacare, will affect the political strands, but Brian hasn't done anything of any major consequence to affect his candidacy. He's not Chris Christie, who blows up one section and then blows up another, but, you know.
And then hugs the president. All right, well, let's move on here. Union Gaming put out a report this past week. They've started this new thing for their clients called Vegas Trend Tracker. And they're talking about how big fights like the Floyd Mayweather fight, you know, brings much, much higher room rates to Las Vegas and more of a gambling culture to Las Vegas. The thing that surprised me was that in high-end restaurants, they have two sets of menus. They have menus for the regular expensive menu, but when these big fights come to town, they have even more expensive menus. Does that surprise you?
Not at all. They also happen to raise the hotel rates.
Well, that doesn't surprise me because that's a supply and demand thing, but I mean, if you're already paying, you know, $300 plus per head for dinner, to have a menu that's even higher than that.
Well, there's a lot of people with a lot of money, and I think Las Vegas has succeeded because it's been very effective in getting that money from people who have it.
I think she's absolutely
yes.
right.
Yes.
If you're charging $300, but you've got people coming in a certain time of the year who are willing to pay $400, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Say, I'll give you a discount? No, you're going to raise that rate to go to where those people will afford it.
And I think what's interesting and exciting about this is it continues the reinvention of Las Vegas, which I believe is the model for the rest of the United States, if not the world, in terms of how you change from making all your money from gambling to how you make money on everything else.
Oh, I agree completely, and I think as we watch online gambling develop, and I know in Nevada right now it's strictly online poker that you can play, but other states are moving to the other games as well, too, and I think as you watch that develop, develop, you are going to see those exact changes that you're talking about, where the focus is going to be on, okay, how do these properties, how do they cater to the non-gambling, the non-gaming and non-gambling clientele, and how do they make the experience for them what they used to make it for the gamblers?
Well, remember when Las Vegas tried to be a family place to take your kids? I remember for a time, you could bring the whole family, your kids could play.
Until Steve Wynn blew up about strollers in the Bellagio and Mirage.
If you're going to Las Vegas, you're not taking your family.
But you can. You know, that's an interesting thing, because a couple of years ago, for 2 years in a row, we took our granddaughter to Las Vegas, and I think she was like 14 at the time. And believe me, the kids enjoy going to the swimming pools. They enjoy going to the M&M factory. They enjoy going to see Chris Angel. So, I mean, there really are a lot more things than you might imagine.
There truly
and they're
are.
Not cheap, by the way.
No, they're not. They do cost a lot of money. But even walking up and down the strip at night is great fun for a family. You come from a small town in Kansas or Iowa, this is really the big time. It used to be you went to New York City or you went to Chicago to see a big town. But anymore, people fly into Vegas. They expect
all
the, to have...
All their we're out of time, but all their those other cities' attractions are in Las Vegas.
We'll they be truly
right back
are.
On Nevada News Vegas.
Yeah. At least in an ersatz way.
Beat the clock to the greatest sale in history at Ashley Furniture Home Store. Save up to 65% off on hourly doorbusters. Plus, take 25.5% off everything. Plus, free financing. Save like never before this Friday only. Incredible deals for every room in your home. Doors open at 7 a.m. Hurry to save 25.5% off everything and free financing for 13 hours only. And only at your Ashley Furniture Home Store.
If the recent changes in healthcare have you feeling like there's a lot to learn, you're not alone. At Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, we've done our homework on the new healthcare law, so we can help you make an informed decision, like finding a reliable health insurance plan that's right for you. All our plans offer $0 preventive care benefits to help keep you healthy. Our plans cover doctor visits, prescription drugs, hospital stays, and more. Choose from doctors and hospitals in the Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield Network. Generations have relied on us for their health care coverage. Apply today. Your coverage is guaranteed, and there are no medical exams required. Act today. You need to apply by December 15th to make sure your coverage starts January 1st, 2014. Now you can get reliable coverage from a name you can trust. Call us at 1-866-768-9305 for a free quote. That's 1-866-768-9305. Or visit lookatanthem.com.
Nothing feels like walking barefoot on lush, brand new carpet. Nothing else can make your home look more warm and inviting. At Washburn, we can now offer some of the thickest, luscious carpets ever made. They're more resilient than ever and more stain resistant. I've installed some in my home, and now Jake and Eddie won't even go outside. One low price includes carpet, pad, installation, and removal of your old carpet. Washburn offers thousands of styles and colors at the price you're looking for. Come to Washburn, where you'll always find first quality carpet for less.
On the next broadcast, Fred Locken will be here. We'll talk about politics, state, and national on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.